With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4 times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everybody, to yet another victorious post-game episode of Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and while this is starting to become a routine again, Rockets big winners in Charlotte, 107-95. Rockets are now 39-17 on the season. They've won 4 of their last 5 games, and I think now we can start to say this isn't just a blip. They have turned it around, and they are playing with the swagger, the confidence that they were when they started the year 31-9 in those first 40 games, and not the group that we saw go 5-8 in the next 13. The key with this, they were shorthanded tonight, did not have Eric Gordon, did not have Nene, did not have KJ McDaniels. Not that KJ would have played anyway, but you would have liked to have had the depth, especially without Gordon. And the Rockets were down 7 late in the first half. It seemed like one of those games. Charlotte was hitting a lot of ridiculous shots. The Rockets, starting with James Harden, were cold. And it would have been very easy to just say this is another one of those games on the road where it's not your gym, things happen, and the Rockets just buckled down in the second half and didn't let it happen. And yes, James Harden was great offensively, 30 points, 7 assists, 11 rebounds, but really the Rockets got this done on the defensive end. The Hornets scored 54 in the first half, and in the fourth quarter, the Rockets just absolutely clamped them down. They ended up with 19, but I think 6 of the 19 were in the last 2 minutes when the game was just clearly over. When the game mattered, the Rockets got stop after stop in the fourth quarter, and it wasn't just the guys that you might expect. James Harden had some key defensive plays, and well, even the guys you would expect, Trevor Ariza and Pat Beverly, I've been on them a lot over the past couple of weeks about fatigue, and you can see these last couple of games that they are really perking up. Pat Beverly, we didn't mention him enough on Tuesday night. It was kind of overshadowed by Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon getting hot. That was the storyline. But Beverly on Tuesday played very well. 14 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, a very well-rounded game. Shot 6 of 11. Tonight, stepped it up even more. 17 points, 3 assists on 7 of 14 shooting, including 3 threes. And that's especially big because with Eric Gordon out, he tweaked, well, I shouldn't say he tweaked his back again. It's probably the lingering back issues from a couple of weeks ago. But regardless, with Gordon out, the Rockets need a couple more threes. They needed a little bit more playmaking. And James Harden, yeah, he was great with his 30, 11, and 7. But Pat Beverly stepping up, shooting almost 50% from the field, said 7 of 14. He ended up finishing 7 of 15 because he missed one in the last minute. And I hadn't refreshed my box score yet. But yeah, still a fantastic night for Beverly. Obviously on offense, but defense as well. He and Ariza were key. I thought specifically the Rockets were really great in transition defense down the stretch, and that's a really good sign. Because the Rockets, we know they can buckle down and play man defense, where they really struggle at times and you worry about are they locked in, is of course the transition defense. Not that they were tremendous tonight. Harden and Ariza each had some big pokes. The other guy, Montrezl Harrell. Now Montrezl Harrell, it's amazing that you can go from a DNP CD to then playing 20-plus minutes in a win just 2 nights later, but that's what happened. With Nene out, he's got minor shoulder soreness, and he's a veteran. Nene rest anyway. With him out, Clint played his usual 26 minutes, so that leaves 22 off the bench. And boy, did Montrez play well. Yeah, he had 15 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 rebounds, but the big thing for Montrez was how well he played defensively. He rotated over, even picked up Jeremy Lamb a couple of times. He gives the Rockets another dimension. And a lot of us, including myself, I've thrown his name out there in trade talks lately because I think with Nene playing so well of late, it's easy to forget Montrez because it's so tough to play three centers. If you have two centers, like Capella and Nene, playing relatively well, it's easy to say, well, do we really need this third win? And sometimes that's true. There is such a thing as having too much of a luxury. But it's not just that Montrez can play well. Tonight was a game in which it reminds you not only can he play well, but it gives you a different dimension than those other guys. And I don't think it was a coincidence. Even though Clint Capella played relatively well, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 5 of 7 from the field, Mike D'Antoni actually chose to have Montrezl Harrell close out the game, put him back with 3.5 minutes with the Rockets kind of holding on to an 8-9 point lead, and then Harrell made a couple of big defensive plays, and of course he had the big dunks to really punctuate it on the feeds from James Harden. But this was a game that certainly reminded you of the value of Montrez, and beyond that, it also reminds you of the value of being fresh. He's a guy who has gotten a lot of DNP CDs lately, so even though the Rockets were shorthanded tonight, only played 8 players, your usual 5 starters, plus Montrez, Sam Decker, and Corey Brewer. By the way, Corey Brewer, 25 minutes. I know he had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 1 of 4, kind of a nondescript stat line, but for Corey to play 25 minutes, that's a plus. He was not a real liability. I know the plus-minus figure, he was -1, which was the worst on the team, but I thought he gave you some good minutes from a defensive perspective. He held his own, and on a night when the Rockets needed him to play 25 minutes and hold his own, he did that. So, yeah, I know it's kind of scraping against the bottom, but I think a lot of times he's a popular punching bag that we don't give him credit when, well, if you have an 8-man rotation, everybody has to contribute, and Corey Brewer, especially defensively, did contribute. But to get back to the larger point, fresh legs. Montrez obviously had them. That's why he was able, after not playing so much, to give you so much on both ends of the court, even switching against the likes of Jeremy Lamb from time to time. But your veterans. Trevor Ariza played 42 minutes, and I know he shot just 4 of 11. He was a little bit cold down the stretch, but he made some key threes early, 3 overall, had 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Thought he specifically was great in transition defense. And of course, for him to play 42 minutes, that says a lot in and of itself. Because when he was really in that funk, when the Rockets were losing 8 of 13 games, there were a couple of times when he played only 25 minutes, and you could tell. Mike D'Antoni's not an idiot. He knew that Trevor was tired. But for him to play Trevor 42 minutes and to have Trevor that active at the end of the game with steals, with blocks, I know Trevor had to play some of those minutes because there's only an 8-man rotation, but the fact that he was still that effective down the stretch shows you that he is feeling much better than he was this time last week. I thought Beverly and Ariza, those were the two guys who were uncharacteristically poor from the field, and they have really bounced back. James Harden, 8 of 21 from the field. It wasn't great for James, but of course, 30, 11, and 8, you're not going to complain about that. I think I said earlier, 30, 11, and 7, and box score not giving him credit for that final assist to Montrezl Harrell yet, so 30, 11, and 8, even better stat line than you might think. 8 of 21 from the field. He was a little cold early. The key for James is that he really took over the game when it mattered in the second half. He was cold early on. It felt a little bit like a continuation of Monday when he shot 6 of 21, I believe. But the Rockets, they were down 4 at the half. And when you're in that situation on the road against a team you should beat, the Hornets are respectable, but at 24 and 29, they're certainly not at the level of the Rockets. You need your best player to put his foot down, especially with Eric Gordon out, because Gordon might be the second most important player. So, yes, it's a big loss, but Harden, when it mattered, he made the shots. Sometimes it's not just the percentage that you shoot, it's when you make them. And tonight, it really felt like James Harden made shots when the Rockets really needed him. That stretch he had in the third quarter, it seemed like when Harden put his foot down, that swung it from being a game the Rockets were down by 4 or 5 points to being up by 8 or 9. And at that point, the Rockets being a veteran team and being locked in defensively, it was going to be really tough for the Hornets to find their way back in. So as much as we talk about overall stats with James, and yes, they matter, 30, 11, and 8, that's tremendous. More important than that, for an MVP candidate, it's knowing when to put the pedal down. And he hit the gas in the second half, and the Hornets never recovered. And that's what you want to see from, well, not just your MVP candidate, but your MVP front runner. Now, the final thing from an individual standpoint that I will note, Eric Gordon. I know a lot of folks want to talk about the back injury, which Mike D'Antoni did not have a lot of specifics before the game. He just mentioned it as back tightness. Initially, it would be something that makes me kind of, maybe worry is too strong a word, but have a little bit of concern, because back injuries can linger, and you talk about a guy that had the same injury, missed 2 games with a tight back 2 weeks ago, thought they figured it out. For it to come back, on the surface, it's not ideal. However, what makes me feel a little bit better about it is that Mike D'Antoni mentioned that he was pretty confident that Eric Gordon's back issues, whatever they were, stemmed from the toe, stemmed from the ankle he turned in January. Those injuries and kind of not running with the same gait and that kind of causing him to tweak his back. That makes me feel a little bit better because it's not like there's some sort of structural issue that maybe he's just dealing with some sort of disc or some weird situation along the lines of Tracy McGrady where we knew there was just a chronic situation there. There's a direct cause, and it's frustrating, but at the same time, it's understandable. So it's one of those things, it's a matter of just do you get him enough rest, and hopefully after a couple of weeks off, which they potentially can give him if he needs it, then he can be a different player after the All-Star break. And that feeds into the final point, which is the schedule. The Rockets now, even in just a few short days, I think the narrative has definitely turned. You're looking at a team that's now 39-17, top three in the West, has now won four of their last five. So even on a micro level, before we always said big picture, the record's good, top three in the West, but they've lost 8 of 13. Well now, even on a micro level, they are trending up, they are playing better basketball, and you only have two games until the trade deadline. You only have two basketball games in the next 2 weeks, because the trade deadline is 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday the 23rd. So one of them, and they're both at home, one is Saturday against Phoenix, the other is next Wednesday against Miami, so a long layoff between Saturday and Wednesday, 3 days off. And then, of course, you have over a week off because that game Wednesday backs up to the All-Star break, which gives everyone some time off other than James Harden. And I guess, well, we hope Eric's well enough to take part in the three-point shootout because I know that's a big deal to him. But from a basketball standpoint, he doesn't have to play a competitive game for two-plus weeks if the Rockets don't want him to. And we'll see. If he's healthy, there's no reason you can't put him out there Saturday or especially Wednesday. Maybe you don't want him to get rusty over couple of weeks. Maybe you want him to have one game in which he goes out there, kind of shakes the rust off, feels better about the back. But the point is, you have options. Because at this point, you're going to be in firm command to the three seed at the break. Even if Eric doesn't play, you're in a good place now as a team. You got that win in Charlotte without Eric and also without Nene and KJ. So I think you're in a good spot to where these last two games, you're going to be favored, although Miami has won an absurd amount of games in a row, so you can't count them out, I guess. But on paper, those are games the Rockets probably going to be favored by close to double digits in each, I would guess. So you have a lot of options, and if you need to give Eric that time, two games is really not that big of a deal. In a normal week, he misses two games. That's just a normal injury in which he misses, what, 3 or 4 days. So you have to take advantage of the schedule. And, of course, if he's healthy, there's no reason to sit a healthy player. But if there's any concern at all, this buys the Rockets more time to be cautious with it and think big picture. Because when they were slumping a couple of weeks ago, when Eric Gordon was going through the issues, the toe, the ankle, then the back, that Mike D'Antoni says resulted from how he walked slash ran on the toe and ankle injuries, there might have been an incentive to kind of push them back. Because the guys in that locker room, they don't want to go through what they did in the past month. There's a ton of pride. They know how good they are. And if you're winning games, it's so much easier to be patient. That's kind of my closing thought. And of course, the other benefit to winning games is, well, you go into the trade deadline not wondering, are we good enough? This, you win 4-5, an 800 winning clip over the past week. Yes, it's against a weaker schedule, but, well, the struggles were with a terrible schedule. So this is basically stuff evening out. And when you win 4-5, and you're doing a lot by double digits. You had two 20-plus point wins. Tonight, you beat a decent team on the road by 12, even shorthanded. It's much easier to buy into the big picture narrative, which is that the Rockets are 39-17, and if they have a chance to upgrade their team more at the deadline to give themselves an even more realistic shot to compete against the Spurs or the Warriors in the playoffs, then yes, that's absolutely something that Daryl Morey should do. I know that's a big change from 1 week ago tonight when they lost that game to Atlanta, blowing a 20-point lead, and we're wondering, where is this team? I know it's just three games, but that's we said going into February that it was going to be just like this. The schedule, you had built up enough credibility. Again, you start 31-9, you kind of give yourself a buffer against any struggles. The Rockets have built enough of a cushion to where all we needed to see was a little bit of a spark, and certainly these last three wins, and then Orlando by 20-plus, tonight in Charlotte by 12, I don't know if you want to say they're clicking quite to the same extent they were before, but certainly this is not the team that lost 8 of 13 games. So no matter what happens these final two games, it's going to be much easier to go into the break and into the trade deadline, knowing that this is a team that absolutely should be one of the big boys. And if they have an opportunity to upgrade themselves even further, then, well, Daryl Morey should absolutely do that. And I think all of us that are Rockets fans know he will be looking for every opportunity to do exactly that. Anyway, on that positive note, I will wrap up this abbreviated post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. Again, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets, your only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also subscribe to us at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. Just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our episodes. Don't hesitate to leave us a rating. We love that. Subscribe if you can. Also, listen to our archives. This was very one-game centric. This is a very post-game episode. This is what we do after each game. But if you want more big picture thinking, we've had a lot on that this week too. I've had two episodes this week where I kind of broke down the assets the Rockets have at the deadline, the various approaches they might take, both from a math standpoint as well as the trades. Last night I had Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer at ESPN.com, join me for kind of a trade deadline preview, talking about his article, which said the Rockets have shown some trade interest in Serge Ibaka, as well as free agent interest in veteran guards like Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers. So, yes, we appreciate when you tune into us after games, see how the Rockets did, but, well, we cover the Rockets every day, and there's not a game every day. There's also some big picture stuff, so we try and do, as I always say, both the macro and the micro. This was the micro, but big picture, we've had some really good macro episodes this week, too, about the approach that Daryl Morey is going to take over the next 2 weeks. If you haven't listened to him, I encourage you to do so, because, well, we don't have that many basketball games. Again, this is Thursday the 9th. Until Thursday the 23rd, there's only two basketball games the next 2 weeks. So there's not going to be that much that's going to change in terms of the narrative of where this team is, now 39-17, firm command of number 3 in the Western Conference. We're going to start talking some bigger picture concepts. If you haven't heard those shows this week, please tune in, because I think that's going to be a good backdrop for some of the interviews we have in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the deadline and, of course, the second half of the year after the All-Star break as the Rockets get ready to hopefully make a strong playoff push to end the year and, well, go deep into May and even June if things break right. Anyway, I will wrap up there. Again, thanks to all you guys for listening. I'm Ben Dubose. Again, very happy final from Charlotte. Rockets 107, Hornets 95. And the good news, the last two games for the All-Star break we keep talking about, they're back in Houston. Phoenix Saturday night. It's a late start at 8 o'clock. So if you think 7 is too early, which a lot of people do, well, this is the exception. It's an 8 o'clock game. It's Saturday. You'll have time to get there. It's Kiss of Death night. Mario Elie is going to be the legend getting honored. There's a Kiss of Death bobblehead that they're going to be giving out. So lots of fun stuff. Hope to see you guys at Toyota Center then. And, of course, Wednesday before the break against the suddenly red-hot Miami Heat of all teams. But, yeah, this was the one road game. Rockets went out and took care of business. And now they go back to Toyota Center where they've won 3 of their last 4 and have been an excellent team all year long. So for now, enjoy your evening. Enjoy your Friday. I'll be talking with you again on Saturday night when the Rockets get back home to Toyota Center.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.